They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Welcome to Faith on a Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner is not in studio. He is joining us, though, live via Skype. Pastor Kyle is in Canada. How you guys doing today?
Man, we're doing great up here in the great white north. It's fantastic, Rob. Great to be with you, buddy.
You ready for week two, Dougie?
I'm all set, man. Week one was great. Ready to rock and roll.
I hope everybody out there enjoyed our first episode on FISM TV Network featuring Eagles coach Doug Peterson. This week, we're going to stick with the Super Bowl champions, and our guest will be the man who caught the game-winning touchdown, Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz made a statement during Super Bowl week. And if you didn't see it, you could find the video anywhere. It went viral. And what he said was, our number one goal on this earth is to make disciples. We want to draw people to Christ. And he reiterated that goal in the interview that we had with him when we sat down at an event a couple months ago. He also talked about in our interview about how the Eagles players who are believers try to introduce Christ to other teammates without being too pushy, without being over the top, without banging them over the head with a Bible. So our theme is going to be for this week, open the door, because often all it takes is just planting that small seed in someone's heart. And we allow God to do the rest. And what I loved about Zach Ertz's statement, saying that his number one goal is to make disciples, it's because I have that same goal myself. And it's a major reason why, Doug, I came to you in January 2017 with the idea to start this show. It's the reason why I'm so passionate about boldly sharing my faith, because I want people to have what I have. I want people to know Christ, to have that peace that comes from a relationship with our Lord and Savior, a peace that you really can't get through anything else that the world tells you is valuable. But how do we share that? How do we share Christ in a world that tells us that's trending away from God, a secular world that tells us to be politically correct, in a world where sometimes we're frowned upon for being so bold about our faith? And each of us, Doug, Pastor Kyle, myself, we all do it differently. I put it out there. I proclaim Christ loud and proud. And the way I go about it I've never really been a quiet person, but at the same time, I try not to bang people over the head with it. But I'll bang that door down sometimes if I have to. And I think what's important is to walk my talk. So if I'm going to be bold, if I'm going to put it out there, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm always going to have shortcomings, and I'm always going to fail. It's a daily thing where I'm going to fail. But all I can do is try to be the best representation of Christ. Each of us have a different style. We all have a different style. Mine may be a little bit more vocal. It may be more vocal when I meet people. It may be more bold on social media. But all of us do it differently. And the most important thing is to find a way to open that door. That's the most important thing, is to find a little bit of an opportunity to slide into that conversation and then go for it. So, Doug, let me start with you. What is your style of opening the door?
I think it's changed over the years. You know, when I talk about losing my son, you know, my son passed away 4 years ago, that absolutely opens a door for me to have an opportunity to share my faith. And usually evolves from me telling people how many kids I have. Because when they say, hey, you have four daughters with another daughter on the way, they're like, you know, they kind of give you that statement, like, what'd you do to deserve, you know, all these girls?
Don't you hate
or,
that?
Oh, my goodness. And I, you know, we can go to another conversation about that. But then immediately I could say, hey, I have a son that passed away a few years ago. And that just opens the door, because they get quiet right after that. And then as long as that door is now open, and I can kind of take it in a bunch of different directions. And so really using that to say, hey, but this is how we've gotten through it, and this is how we talk to our kids about it, and this is how we want God to use his light in order to tell other people about him. So I think that's a little bit different. But one thing I love about Zach talking as a new believer who has only been made a profession of faith about 2 years ago is the fact that he's already thinking about planting seeds. And I think that that's a huge shift in my own thinking from when I was a younger believer and as I get older, is that it's not my job to convince people that they need to come to Christ. I think that we shine our light. I think we are an example to them. We're able to talk to them. But it might be me talking to somebody and they have a question, they run into you and you're able to talk to them. They run into Pastor Kyle or they hear a testimony from a player. All of those things add up. And then we see the harvest come later on in life.
I think it's important to also remember that people don't change people. The Holy Spirit changes people. So, Pastor Kai, you know, you're a pastor at the Connect Church. You have a relationship with a lot of these guys, including Zach Ertz. So your style may be different than mine. Also, it's part of what you're doing as a man, as a pastor over there. So tell us a little bit about how you go about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, look, the truth is I want to take myself out of being a pastor just for a moment. Because that's vocationally what I do. I definitely, as part of my calling and part of what God has opened up my life to be, is to make sure that I have the opportunity to disciple people on a large scale. And Rob, as you said, you know, what's so beautiful is that I get the opportunity to pastor some of the guys, including Zach, which is great. And I know that Zach loves discipleship because he has absolutely been transformed by discipleship. So for him, it's a natural thing to say, I want to make disciples because it's something that has transformed his life from the very core. And he's giving away what he so freely received. But I think, you know, I want to just talk about personally because my calling isn't only just to make disciples from the stage or from my position. My calling is to make disciples as a person, because Jesus called all of us, every man or woman of faith, to go and make disciples of people. And so I think one of the ways that I always want to do it is we have a firm belief that people will tell you everything you know. I need to know to lead them to Jesus if you just listen. Just listen to their story. Ask them about their life. Get in a relationship and just talk over coffee or ask about their day. Ask about the way that they were raised or just how they're feeling or what's going on in their life. And I'm a firm believer that out of that, when Jesus is already in you and you have a purposed intention of, as Doug said, planting a seed and making sure that you are a sower of the seed, because our responsibility isn't to make sure that someone absolutely comes to Jesus. Our responsibility is to give somebody an opportunity to encounter the love and grace of who Jesus is. And that's at the heart of discipleship. We can't change a person's life just out of changing their lifestyle. The only way to change life is to introduce them to the one who really is life, and that's Jesus.
What I love to what you said there, Pastor Kyle, and all of that was awesome. The part where you talk about if you just listen to people, because if we just listen to other people speak, whether it's over a cup of coffee or whether it's over lunch or dinner or whatever it is, everyone will tell you. None of us, our lives aren't perfect. So all of us have something that we're going through, some issue that we're battling, or our life may be at the highest point, yet maybe we don't feel fulfilled for whatever reason. So if you just listen to people speak and tell you what they're going through or how they're going about life or what's going on in their life, usually, oftentimes, if they don't know the Lord, that's an opportunity to slide right in there and say, well, you know, I know how you can get that peace that you're looking for, or I know how you can arrive at a point in your life where whatever it is that's troubling you or whatever it is that makes you feel unworthy or whatever it is that you're going through, that maybe it's an illness, whatever, I know what it is. And that's that relationship with the Lord. And sometimes people look at you sideways. They'll look at you like you're crazy. But that's an opportunity if you just, like Pastor Kyle said, if you just listen to people. And that doesn't take us being vocal and bold. That can work in some some settings, but in others, some people just aren't wired that way. Like, I may be wired to be loud and proud, as I said a little bit earlier. So I may be set up that way, but other people want to have a conversation and want to be able to slide it in. And then, as you said, Doug, you have a testimony that people can easily identify with, because they'll talk to you about, if it's just a conversation about how many children you have.
Yeah.
And that gives you a chance to slide in there and discuss what got you to this point and how you're able to have still, despite a tragedy that will hurt and will linger, but allow you to have that peace. Sometimes, different things that I do in my life or have done allow me to be able to slide in there too as well and have that conversation. You guys know we Remy and I were on television. We did reality TV and we reached a point where, you know, Hollywood doesn't necessarily like for me to be loud and proud. They didn't necessarily like for me to have Jesus Christ on a cross as my background picture on some of my social media. But the Bible verse that I used to guide my life and is a principle that I like to follow and eventually let me and Remy make a decision to pursue other things is Mark 8:36, and is, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? So by having that experience, now I've been able to have a conversation with someone who says to me, well, why aren't you still doing this? Or why didn't you continue to do that? And now they say, oh, wow, okay, so now I understand it a little bit better. So it's listening to people. It's sharing our experience, whatever it is that we're going through. Some of us do different things and have other stuff going on in our lives. But another thing that I struggle with, Pastor Kyle, and I want you to help me with this, because I love to come on here, because I'll never come on here and say I have all the answers. I don't have
none
all
of
the
us
answers.
Do, right?
I could turn to the Lord for help all the time, and I feel the answers are in that book. Not in this book, Birds of Prey, that you're looking at, but the answers are in the Bible. But the guys that I wrote about in that book will tell you their answers come from the Bible. But what I struggle with is I have no problem going into a prison and speaking to inmates and preaching to them. Or I have no problem, as I had an opportunity the other day, to minister in a bank while I'm opening up an account to different people.
Yep.
But then it's the family. It's the people who are close to me. Not my wife and children, but other relatives who grew up in have a different background of their faith. And the way I grew up, as everybody knows, I grew up in a Catholic church, and I've talked about that before. But they look at me now and they say, there's something different about you. And I often have a tough time being as bold or letting that door that's been slightly opened, sometimes I shut it and I change the conversation rather than slamming through that door and being like, here we go. Now I have this opportunity. And I let the work that I do stand for me. I let the posts that I put up there or this show that I do, I let that stand and hope that people may look at it, rather than have that one-on-one conversation. So Pastor Kyle, you know, other people who may struggle with that like me, how can we go about changing that?
Yeah, Rob, I think, to be honest, that's a natural thing. And I totally understand where you're coming from. First and foremost, let's just say that the Bible says in Matthew 5:16 that let your light so shine before other people that they may see your good works, they may see how you reflect the Father and be drawn to him. So when we actually are willing to live out this life of grace and love and mercy and justice and forgiveness and, you know, unconditional love of someone, it actually is a drawing. It's used by God to draw people to him. So your works are already doing that, because your works are out there hidden. You're not saying, I just want to be a good person. You're saying, hey, I just want to let you know this is Jesus and it's action in my life. So there are things that are already testifying about you. I would also then just say this, and I get it that we struggle. I struggle. We all have family. We all have people close to us. And a lot of times we struggle with them because, to be honest, when we go into a prison or we stand on a pulpit or, we go somewhere else, we really don't know those people. We don't have a lot invested in them. They really can't hurt us. But the people closest to us, we can lose a lot if they reject us. And these things, to be honest, come down to an allegiance moment. Am I going to be, is my allegiance going to be given to Jesus or to security? Is my allegiance going to be given to Jesus or to keeping the peace in this moment? And that doesn't mean every time I'm with them, I have to share the gospel with them boldly. But it does mean if the Holy Spirit is stirring me to share and I choose not to share, it's because I've chosen allegiance to them rather than allegiance to Jesus.
And, you know, a lot of times people are going to have issues. And if you continue to plant those seeds and they recognize you as a believer, somebody that's strong, they may ask you for prayer. And I think, you know, some practical applications for the believer would to be able to say to somebody, hey, how about we pray right now? Can we pray and go over this and then follow up with them? And that shows that you really care, too. I think that's a big piece. And I guess the other piece is, you know, not everybody's in a situation where they're trying to witness to somebody or disciple somebody else. Maybe you're the person that's out there that's looking for answers. And so maybe there's people in your lives that you look at as, you know, a little bit more, have a bigger spiritual foundation. Go ahead and talk to those people. Open that door, and hopefully those people will walk through it in order to help you, too. So some people are looking for help. Other people are looking to help other people. You know, just by opening that door, saying a word, asking a question, it can really get some help for people.
It's all about opening the door. And a little bit later on in the show, Pastor Kyle, I want you to help me with a question that allows for that door to be opened. When someone says that they are a good person and they do good things and they live a good life, but they don't know the Lord and they don't have a relationship with the Lord, but they don't fear death and they don't fear that they're going to go to hell or versus heaven because they are that good person. Maybe a little bit later on, you can address how we can answer that, or if someone makes that statement to us, how we can push through that door and guide them a little bit towards a relationship with Christ. When we come back, we're going to have our interview, part one of our interview with Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.
To Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner, joining us live on the road from Canada. A few months ago, Doug, Pastor Kyle, and I had an opportunity to sit down with Eagles tight end Zach Ertz and linebacker Jordan Hicks at a live event. Let's hear part one of our conversation with Zach Ertz.
How was it like to catch the winning touchdown for the Super Bowl? So what was going through your mind when you caught the ball, when you took, as you know, as Kevin said, the three steps and took it in the end zone? And as you were waiting for the replay to go, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously it's an unbelievable feeling. Winning the game is the first and foremost thing. When I scored the touchdown, I thought we were going to have to go score again because of the way the game was going. So at the time, I didn't view it as the winning touchdown per se. But one of my favorite moments from the game was everything was going on with the review, and it was me and Trey Burton just standing on the field. We were kneeling on the field, literally just having a conversation to one another, like, man, this is crazy. They better not overturn this. If they overturn this, the whole city is going to burn down. And that was honest. There was so much chaos going on around us, and me and Trey are just having a normal conversation. So that's one of the things that I'll always remember from that game. But, yeah, it was great to score the touchdown.
And then you win the game, and the first thing you do when you're on that stage with the Vince Lombardi Trophy, you give all glory to God.
What did it mean to you to be able, with the whole world watching, to be able to share your faith in that moment of glory?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I had been dreaming about. You know, I obviously wanted to win, but I wanted to give God the glory. I wouldn't have been, looking back on the past 27 years of my life, there have been so many things that he's allowed me to overcome that I didn't even see him working. He's put people in my life like Kyle, like some of my mentors in high school, that built me up to be at that moment on that stage at that time. And I felt a responsibility because of the platform that he had given us and the talents that he's given Jordan and I to just give him the glory and thank him for everything he's done.
We know God doesn't pick favorites. He doesn't prefer one team over another. And I interviewed plenty of Christian brothers on the New England Patriots. But what is it about the bond that the Philadelphia Eagles had in 2017, that Christian brotherhood that allowed you not to win the Super Bowl, but to overcome all of the adversity, Jordan getting hurt, Carson got everything that happened? How much of that was because you guys have that strong faith and that strong connection and that brotherhood?
I think the guys on the team, the believers on the team, we delve into the Word for a long period of time. Since the moment we got together, we've been studying the Word together. And so the foundation has been built a long time ago. So we had so much adversity that when Jordan got hurt all these guys got hurt. Carson, Maragos, yeah, everyone getting hurt. That we never, all pro team of guys that got hurt. We never wavered in our trust and our belief in the Lord. We knew that there was a reason for everything that was going on, and it was really powerful. The way that everyone responded. It wasn't like when Jordan got hurt, he just kind of went to the back. He was still there as a brother fighting for us. Yeah. He was out there encouraging us. So it was just that belief of that foundation that was never be swayed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in a society right now that is fighting for you to find any kind of common ground, unity, where segregation division has really played its part and shown its ugly face time and time again. How do you guys do it? How do you do it from, you know, a strong group of Christian men in a locker room facing social injustice as well as having unity in a room where other guys may not believe what you believe, and yet still having a family?
Yeah, I think, too, that the characteristic that we want to portray is love. Like Jordan said, we're not coming into any situation with any hidden agendas. Our one main purpose is Jesus. And the love that he had for us, we want to show that each and every day. And so it doesn't matter if you're white or whether you're black. All we want to do is show that love each and every day, no matter what situation it is, because there are guys in the locker room that aren't believers. But my love for them isn't going to change based on what they believe. I'm still going to love them regardless.
Yeah, and it's really been from an outsider's view, the authenticity of who you guys are. You're the same way in the locker room and out of the locker room, and you love each person regardless of where they are kind of in that journey.
100%.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you don't alienate some of the non-believers because you're showing them love? Sometimes people may feel excluded. So how do you make sure that you're not trying to push them too much in one direction or another? You show them that love. You let them know that, hey, we're here for you if you ever want to hear about Christ, but we don't want you to feel excluded from this brotherhood, this bond that we have.
That was part one of our interview with Zach Ertz. When we come back, we're going to hear Zach talk about that powerful moment when he laid hands on Carson Wentz's injured knee and Pastor Kyle over the phone prayed for him. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner joining us live on the road. Here is part two of our interview with Philadelphia Eagles Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I think too there's a uniqueness about our team that there's not many guys in every position group that's a believer. There's pretty much one guy in each position group. So we're affiliated. I'm affiliated with all the tight ends. And I'm a believer, where Jordan's a believer and he's affiliated with all these other linebackers. So it's not like there's this one click on the team. I really dedicated my life 2 years ago. So prior to that, I was dealing with I'm still dealing with all these guys, what they're dealing with, but I just have a different mindset now than when I was dealing with them 2 years ago. So anytime they're open to having that conversation about, like, how did you deal with this? How do you deal with it now? It's just any opportunity you have to share your perspective will open the door to something much bigger for them.
Really good, Zach.
That's great. That's great. I remember, you've been on the team now back when Jason Avant, who is one of the most mature Christians I've ever seen in any walk of life. Yep. And he was on the Eagles, and Jason would just walk through that locker room and you'd see he shined this bright light 100%. Like Christ was there walking. Yep. And he'd sing sometimes worship music at the top of his lungs. And I remember, I don't know if he influenced you, but I was walking, about to talk to Jason, and I heard him speaking to you a little bit. And this was 4 or 5 years ago, and you said you dedicated your life a couple of years ago. How much did he nudge you?
I mean, he definitely, Jason, like you said, is a guy that radiates the gospel. This guy is living, breathing. He is, and he's also experienced his life before he dedicated his life. Yeah. So Jason was a guy that was always welcoming to me. I would sit next to him in all the special teams meetings, and I remember when I was a rookie and something happened on the field. I was like, man, Jesus Christ. Like, I said that in vain, you know, like before I really dedicated my life, before I knew the profound impact of what I was saying.
And some of us still say it.
And Jason goes, man, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with that. So that's something I still say to this day when I hear that. The guy, he was so welcoming to me. I was a rookie. It was like year 8 or 9 for him. He's a phenomenal person. He definitely opened the door. And all you got to do with people, I feel like, is open the door. It's not our job to bang it over them. All we have to do is open the door and God will do the rest.
That's a great point you make. That's a great point because a lot of times we feel like people change people. People don't change people. The church doesn't change people. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to move and do that. All we can do is plant the seeds. And then Zach gets injured. You had a concussion and missed one game, right?
Yep.
And that game, you were able to travel because you were a game-time decision, and Zach ends up in L.A., and the Eagles are playing the Rams, and everything's going great. And then we all know what happened with Carson. But you were there. You were on the sideline with him, and it was almost as if God knew He's going to need someone through this moment. When he walks off that field, I know there was a very special moment in that locker room. Pastor Kyle was on the other end of the phone. Yeah. Can you tell everybody what happened behind the scenes there?
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously, as a football player, like Jordan kind of said, that you want to play in every game. That was a game that the whole week I kind of was dealing with some stuff, being in L.A. with my head, that I was just like, you know what, this isn't right. Coach Peterson, he decided the morning of the game, you know, you're not going to play today. So I'm very thankful for him to kind of make that decision for me. But, yeah, so I was on the sideline during the game. We're dominating. Trey's dominating. Carson is playing phenomenal, kind of sending a message to the Rams on the other side. And then in the third quarter, he gets hurt. And, you know, Carson's an unbelievable competitor. He stays in the next play, throws a touchdown, of course. But when he's out there, you could tell something's wrong. You know, Carson's a guy that never shows any emotion on the field, let alone pain being that emotion. And he just kept kind of pointing to his knee and like shaking his head. And so he throws a touchdown and he just walks off the field slowly. You know, he's a guy that's always jogging everywhere. And so he's slowly walking off, and then he goes into the tent, and I kind of go over there, standing over there, waiting for him to come out, and he comes out, and I'm like, dude, are you okay? And he just like, something's wrong. And at that point, I knew something was not right with him, not only physically, but he didn't know how to kind of go through it mentally, too. I was next to Trey, and Trey kind of said, hey, man, why don't you just go in with Carson? We don't need you out here. Brent and I have got it. Obviously, they did. So I ran into the locker room. I caught up with Carson, and we just walked into the locker room. I had my hand around him the entire walk up. And like you said, it was just a moment where God knew that Carson was going to need someone that day. He knew what I was dealing with, and he just put us in the situation where we were able to be with each other, with our brother. And when I saw him going through this, I kind of put everything that I was going with aside. And the first thing that I thought of, you know, I texted Jordan, I texted Kyle. I got Kyle on the phone, and we laid hands on Carson's knee. We prayed for healing. Obviously, it didn't happen, but that doesn't make it any less powerful that, I mean, at the end of the day, his will be done. And we can pray, we can do that, but we trust in the outcome regardless of the outcome, because of how much we love him and how much we trust him. So it was definitely a profound moment. Kyle can probably touch on it a little more.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, one of the things that's been profound that I've seen with you guys is that the Bible says, you know, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that two are better than one because there's more return for their work. If someone falls down and they're alone, they're out of luck. And I've watched you guys time and time again be there for each other in various ways, on the field, off the field. Jordan, like you were just saying, changing your perspective on how to lead. And I think your investment in each other never changes. The way you invest may change, but your commitment to the investment. I know that Rob's probably asked this question a lot in interviews with the team over this last year, but the Bible says iron sharpens iron. How much has your relationships, how important have your personal relationships with each other, being men of God, being authentic, being vulnerable with each other? Because I know you guys go there. Like, it's not surface. You go there. And I know that there's people out here today and people watching who, you know, they may not have 52 guys on the team, what would you say to them? How important is it for them to have that in their lives as well?
You want to hit that? Yeah, sure. So we don't have 52 guys either, per se. We have probably 7 guys that we're really vulnerable with. And I think it's, we don't only be there for each other as friends, but we also challenge each other. Absolutely. We hold each other accountable. You know, when I go back to California sometimes in the off season, the hardest part is being away from these guys because I don't have anyone that's walking the walk that I'm walking each and every day back in California like I am in Philadelphia. You know, if I'm slipping up, Jordan's gonna, he's gonna be there for me, say, Zach, we need to talk about this, or the same thing with Jordan. And so that's pretty much the biggest thing, is that we're able to be vulnerable because everything that Jordan's gone through, I've gone through at times. Everything that I'm going through, Jordan's gone through that. So just that ability to hold each other accountable to something so much bigger than us, and also to challenge each other to, this isn't a group of seven guys. We're not called to live life with seven people. So we'll challenge each other to be there for other people and preach the gospel. So, yeah.
Now, Zach didn't get baptized in that cold tub, but one day before you got married last March, you did get baptized, and then you got married.
Dude, that was warm. That was a warm pool, bro.
Was it a warm pool?
That was a warm pool. We were smart. That's wisdom.
So, yeah, he'll hold me accountable. It was a warm pool. Like you said, I got baptized. I got married March 26, 2017. I got baptized March 25th.
You just celebrated an anniversary.
I did. But yeah, so I got baptized, you know, the day before I got married, and then I got married the following day. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to let the world know that I was dedicating my life. And that was the moment that I was able to do that. Obviously, Julie and I have an amazing marriage right now, and we will hopefully continue to do that, God willing. That's the plan. But the reason we're able to have this marriage, because I see her like 4 days out of a month, 6 days out of a month. Wow. There's, especially this time of year with her season in Chicago, me being in Philly, or if she's in Chicago, I'm in California. There's just so much distance and so much temptation at times that could pull you away from one another, honestly. And so us having the foundation in Christ, I trust her relationship with Jesus. She trusts my relationship with Jesus. And if we didn't have that relationship with Jesus, our relationship would be, I would honestly say, impossible, because we would be comparing our marriages to all those around us. And honestly, there is really no one dealing with the same stuff that we're dealing with. There are people at times that may have similar things, but not for the sustained amount of time. Julie and I, we'll get a month straight at times a year, then that's pretty much the longest time we get with each other. I haven't been able to see her for a year at times. You know, the first year we started dating was my senior year of college. I went to the draft the following year. She was still at Santa Clara. I was in Philly. And then she gets drafted to Chicago. So we've always been doing this, but the one thing since we've been married, I trust her relationship with the Lord. She trusts my relationship with the Lord. And that's been the only thing that we've built our foundation on. And that's the only thing we trust.
One of the things I love about these guys is the mission of Faith on the Field show. When I created this show, when I went to Doug and said, hey, I got this idea, I want to do this, when I told Kyle about all the things, it was, I wanted to use Faith on the Field show as a platform, as a way to make disciples. To make this, that is our number one goal. Our goal isn't to make money. Our goal isn't to market. Our goal isn't anything else other than to make disciples. And I want to tell you what Zach said during Super Bowl week in a video that went viral, that has got to be the best video anyone can view. And he said our number one goal is to make disciples. So I want you to explain to everybody why that is a priority for you, for the team, why spreading that gospel means so much to you guys.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I've experienced the life with and without Christ. And I want to let everyone know the secret, the good news that I have. I'm not afraid to share it. I'm not ashamed. The catches, the yards are great, but I want to lead people to Christ. God has allowed us to have this immense platform. Like we're talking, people are coming up to me the week of the Super Bowl asking me to share my testimony. It is just unfathomable to me that he's using me in this way. So it's just something that I feel a little responsible, or actually a lot of responsibility, to share the news that I have. The word of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus, is just so profound that this isn't something for me to keep inside. I want to let everyone know. I want to preach it to everyone, all the mountaintops, from all the mountaintops. And it's just, that's all the goals that I have. That's the number one goal that I have. Yeah, I have earthly goals, but my main goal is to make disciples and share the gospel. So that's kind of where that came from.
That was Zach Ertz, honest, transparent, just an awesome interview, guys. We heard him talk about what our topic is centered on today, and that is opening the door. And his quote was, all you have to do with people is open the door. It's not our job to bang it. We just have to open the door, and God will do the rest. Zach also said during that interview that he views it as sort of his responsibility to open that door, to make disciples. And guys, you've heard me cite Matthew 5:13 so many times. I do it in prison. I do it anywhere I speak. And I say, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And that is Jesus saying it in Matthew 5:13. And guys, we are like that salt. If we're not seasoning the people around us with the message of Jesus Christ, I feel that we're worthless to the kingdom, like the salt that's lost its flavor and can't season the food anymore. But Pastor Kyle, you have cautioned us not to use the word responsibility. Can you explain the use of the word responsibility versus the feeling of doing that, because it is coming from within, coming from within the heart?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rob, anytime that we look at something as a responsibility, that we struggle to do it out of duty. And this isn't about obligation. This is about passion. This is an opportunity for us to tell people about the one who changed our lives. So it's not just about my life being changed. It's about that Jesus is worthy. And Jesus, his love, his unconditional acceptance, his grace and mercy, they're worth talking about. I don't feel a duty to have to talk about my wife, Danielle. I love talking about my wife, Danielle. Why? Because I'm in love with her. And I want people to know her because she's awesome. I want people to get to know my son because he's really cool. I don't do that out of obligation because I'm a dad or because I'm the husband. I do that because I am desperately in love with these two. And I think that's it. I think what we have to understand is we just have to be careful not to take verses out of context. You know, Jesus is talking in that Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the big picture of the kingdom of God. He's saying this is what it's all about. And it really is centered. Jesus, our relationship with him, our interaction in the world, it has to be founded in love. Because after all, you know, I can't make somebody fall in love with someone. If I put a gun to someone's head and said, you better love me or else, they may perform the actions of what looks like love, but I'll never know it's love until I remove the gun.
You used the word, Pastor Kyle, obligation. Obligation is a little bit stronger than responsibility, because I understand what you're saying when you say obligation, if you feel it's your obligation. But the term responsibility versus the term obligation, do you think there's a difference there between the use of those words and the feeling? Like if that's a feeling that we have, I understand the obligation. Is there a difference to you between those two words?
I think it's semantics at some level, Rob, to be honest. I think at some level, you know, if we put too much emphasis on our responsibility to do something, that it's all on us, it easily slips into the feeling of obligation. I'm not saying by any stretch that every man and woman doesn't have of faith that walks with Jesus doesn't have the onus to be able to share the gospel. Matter of fact, it's a command of Jesus. We talked about Matthew 28. You know, this is where this really comes from, the Great Commission, where Jesus actually says, go into all the world and make disciples. And you know, we get tripped up sometimes because we think that Jesus's commandment is to go, and it's not. The only commandment in the Great Commission is actually to make disciples. Everything else is a participle in the original language. It's actually while going. Jesus is actually assuming while we're living, tell people about me. But I just think that it needs to come more from a place inside of us. Of, man, I get the opportunity. Yeah, it may be a responsibility because we as a whole, the church, has a responsibility to share Jesus with the world. But that's about how I look at it. I am very happy to live out this opportunity to share Jesus, knowing that it's someone else's opportunity for their life to change.
The big mess that the Eagles had to overcome last season was one injury after another. Yep. They lose Pro Bowl tackle, nine-time Pro Bowl left tackle, Jason Peters. They lose Darren Sproles, one of the most versatile running backs and one of the best kick returners, punt returners in NFL history. Then they lose their playmaking linebacker, Jordan Hicks. They lose special teams captain, Chris Maragos. But one after another, guys are stepping up. And then in week 14, Carson Wentz goes down. And it just so happened that Zach Ertz was also injured that game. He was on the sideline because he had a concussion. And as he talked about in part two of the interview there, he felt that, God placed him in that position. Sometimes guys don't travel when they have a concussion, but he was there. He was on the road, and the Eagles had been on the road. They went to California for 9 days after the game in Seattle, and then they go to L.A. and play the Rams. But he's on the sideline, and Carson goes down, and Trey Burton tells Zach that, hey, Carson needs you more than we need you standing here, and he follows him to the locker room. And what he says, Pastor Kyle, is that he reaches out to Jordan Hicks, and then he reaches out to you. And even though God didn't answer that prayer, Carson Wentz had a torn ACL. It wasn't going to be repaired. He was going to be out for the rest of the season. Can you talk about the power of that moment, the power of prayer when it's two or more that are united, Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, Rob, I would first say God did answer that prayer. It may not have been the way that we would have chosen it, but my God works all things out together for our good. And I think we can see, when it happened, you're right. I got that phone call, and my heart for him as his pastor and just as a friend, man, my heart was broken for him. But I think we can see that truth is a reality. Look at what God did. God truly received all the glory through this entire process. What I do love about that moment is, you know, in the midst of pain, in the midst of really kind of this emotional whirlwind that he was going through there in the locker room with the doctors, Carson's first response, Zach's first response is, hey, we believe. We're going to practice what we preach. We believe in God. We believe in the word of God, and we believe in the sovereignty of God. And so, they made that phone call, and we got on the phone, and I know Zach laid his hands on him, and we just began to pray and believe, because that's what the Bible says. And we leave the rest in God's hands. You know, that's where faith really comes in. Faith is not a magic charm that if I say the right thing or do the right thing or if I get the right formula in place, that it mandates God's going to do what I want him to do the way I want him to do it. Faith says, I trust in God. I'm not trusting God for something. I'm trusting in who he is. So I trust that he knows what's best, and I trust that he loves me more than I could even love myself. And that's what I love about Carson and Zach and Jordan Hicks and the Eagles, to be honest. These guys practice what they preach. And Robbie, but that's what you were just saying. You know, the reason their testimony is so powerful in that locker room is because they're real guys who worship a real God in a real way and live it out in a real world. And that's what makes it so authentic. They are authentically in love with Jesus, and they live it out every way. When they're winning the Super Bowl and when they're in the locker room with a torn ACL, they're the same people, and they're believing in the same God in the same way.
What was powerful about what you said there, Pastor Kyle, too, is how the world and all of us, even I in the beginning here, I say God didn't answer that prayer because we're thinking repair the ACL or make it be an MC or make it be something else. And you say, well, maybe you say God did answer that prayer in different ways. And what's cool is that Carson Wentz, just this week, when he was asked about what did he learn, and this is in a news conference setting, right? Not on Faith on the Field show, but in a news conference setting with the Philadelphia media. And he's asked about what he learned through the injury, through that adversity. And he said, I learned to surrender to the Lord. And yes. I thought that was so powerful that he learned to surrender to the Lord. Guys, Zach also talked about being vulnerable with a few people, having certain guys. We always talk about the accountability aspect of it, but accountability and vulnerability is so important. Doug, a little bit, if you could touch on how, with what you've gone through, how important it is for you to have people you can just be vulnerable with.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Those guys that are going to come and challenge you and ask how you're doing today and understand whether you're lying about it. You tell them, hey, I'm okay, but they can see right through that. So I like the fact that Zach talked about it was a few guys. It didn't have to be 15, 20 guys. It's a
hard
few
to be,
guys.
Right? It's hard to
it's
be
too
that
hard.
Many people. It's impossible.
Hard. Yeah, and you know, to have a few guys that you can trust that are going to be there, that you could share life with, that they know that you can be messy with them and share your innermost secrets and just struggles and hold you accountable, it's really important. And I think that's a blessing from God. And I think that I value that more now, relationships, the closeness that I can have with a few people, just going through that struggle. And I can't say that was there before. You know, it's more than a best friend.
Yeah. It's a special moment, right, Pastor Kyle?
Yeah. I mean, I think, Doug, you hit it on the head. You know, the truth is you can't be a disciple if you're not being discipled. And so that takes relationship. Iron sharpens iron. We've talked about that a lot on here. And I think we have to recognize in our lives, we have to have wise counsel around us. The Bible says those who walk with the wise grow wise. And so if we want to take on the opportunity and Rob, what you said, the responsibility of making disciples, we first have to put ourselves in a position where we are being discipled. And that takes relationship. Jesus did not invite us into a program. Jesus invited us into his life. Come and follow me, and I'll make you into fishers of men. I'll make you something you're not.
When we come back, we're going to try and tackle quickly that very difficult question of how to open the door when someone says, well, I'm a good person and I do good things. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.
Faith on the Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And if you guys are watching us for the first time, listening to us for the first time, Doug will tell you where you can hear previous episodes and how you can stay in touch with us in the future.
Yeah, we're all on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Faith on the Field. And all of our past episodes can be found at faithonthefieldshow.com. Podcasts are the best way to listen to us if you're in the car, you're on the road, you're working out. So subscribe to our podcast at Faith in the Field and also download that and leave a review so we let us know how you're thinking about us. You could also watch us on FISM.TV, a post-cable network of new, edgy, and informative Christian television programming in a cable-cutting world. So tune in anytime on outlets such as Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Android TV.
And we are going to finish up with one of the toughest questions to answer when you're trying to open the door, when you're trying to have that conversation and someone gives you an inch and how do you push forward with it? Pastor Kyle, when someone says, and I've had someone say this to me, a relative close to me recently say, well, I am a good person. I do good things. I don't go to church. I don't believe in this, that, or the other, but I'm a good person and I do good things and I'm not afraid of where I'm going to go when I die. That's an opening. How do we slide through it, Pastor Kyle?
I think that's always a hard thing, Rob, when someone is saying that they already feel like they have it all worked out. I would always just ask this question: how do you know you're good enough? Based off of what criteria are you determining whether you're good enough? Because the bottom line is, do I just have to be better than Hitler? If I just have to be better than Hitler, I think we're all pretty good. But how about if I have to be better than Mother Teresa? How about if I have to be better than Gandhi and people who have done phenomenal works out there? How about if even Mother Teresa's not good enough? How do I know I'm good enough? Well, the Bible tells me there are none good, no, not one. The Bible tells me that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's no shame in that game. It's just a reality where we've missed it. And so the good news on the other side of that is that it's really not about our goodness at all. We will never be good enough in anything that we do to earn the forgiveness or relationship with God. But it's not about our goodness. It's about how good God is to us. The Bible says it is by grace that you've been saved. The gift of God, it's free. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. And the good news is you don't have to. And I think, Rob, to be honest, that's just where we have to be willing to take it and plant those seeds and just ask the question, but how do you know you're good enough? If we sin just a little bit, if we miss the mark by just a little bit, if we break the law just a little bit, we're still guilty of all of the broken law that we did. If we steal one pack of gum or we steal 100 packs of gum, we're still a thief. We still broke the law. And so it cannot be on comparison to anything else except for the perfection of God.
I think what's so important, Pastor Kyle, and that was beautifully stated, is that sin is sin, and we all sin in different ways, but sin is sin, and we will always Absolutely. Fall short of the glory of God. I want to thank Doug Horton. I want to thank you, Pastor Kyle Horner. Thanks to everybody for listening and watching Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Thank you for our incredible production staff, Kay, John, and Giuliano. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.